By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen, amma ba'd fa'audhu billah. من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, you are watching Rise and Shine. My dear viewers, Alhamdulillah, ثم Alhamdulillah. Every single day, rise and shine. We always begin by listening to the tilawat of the glorious Quran. Then the Naat Sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have a topic as we do every single day, my dear viewers. Now, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, we are going to go to our topic, but we always begin by listening to the tilawat of the glorious Quran, the beautiful recitation of the Quran. We are on chapter number 12. We are now on Surah Yusuf, mashallahu azza wa jal. And my dear viewers, this is beautiful. It is, isn't it? For those who would be listening would think, if only you could just spend the entire program just listening to the Quran, Al-Kareem, the recitation of the Quran, as well as, mashallahu azza wa jal, the Urdu translation, which we also listen to, my dear viewers. And then I give a brief overview in the English language too. So where did we get up to? We heard about Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam having a dream and then being cast into a well, and then later sold as a slave in Egypt. He was then imprisoned. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was imprisoned. The king has the dream. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is able to interpret that dream. The truth about the incident which took place between Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and the women of Egypt, it came to light too. And my dear viewers of Madani Channel, as well as this, the brothers of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had returned. And on their second trip, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam had ordered them, had told them that they must bring their younger brother with them too, Hazrat Binyamin. So Hazrat Binyamin, he also comes to Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, he keeps Hazrat Binyamin with him. So now the brothers are returning to their father for the second time. They were trusted. First was Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. They themselves cast him into a well. And then with the youngest brother of their own. They were trusted, entrusted by their own father. Now for a second time they are returning without that entrustment, without that trust of theirs, without their younger brother. And then what happens, my dear viewers, we'll have to listen and find out. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon, shaytan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru, جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا.
ارجعوا الى ابيكم فقولوا يا ابانا ان ابنك سرق.
اپنے باپ کے پاس لوٹ کر جاؤ, پھر عرض کرو اے ہمارے باپ, بے شک آپ کے بیٹے نے چوری کی.
وَمَا شَهِدْنَا إِلَّا بِمَا عَلِمْنَا وَمَا كُنَّا لِلْغَيْبِ حَافِظِينَ.
اور ہم تو اتنی ہی بات کے گواہ ہوئے تھے جتنی ہمارے علم میں تھی, اور ہم غیب کے نگہبان نہ تھے.
وَاسْأَلِ الْقَرْيَةَ الَّتِي كُنَّا فِيهَا وَالْعِيرَ الَّتِي أَقْبَلْنَا فِيهَا وَإِنَّا لَصَادِقُونَ.
اور اس بستی سے پوچھ دیکھیے جس میں ہم تھے, اور اس قافلے سے جس میں ہم آئے, اور ہم بے شک سچے ہیں.
قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ أنفسكم أمرا فصبر جميل عسى الله أن يأتيني بهم جميعا إنه هو العليم الحكيم.
کہا تمہارے نفس نے تمہیں کچھ ہیلا بنا دیا تو اچھا صبر ہے, قریب ہے کہ اللہ ان سب کو مجھ سے لا ملائے, بے شک وہی علم و حکمت والا ہے.
وَتَوَلَّا عَنْهُمْ وَقَالَ يَا أَسَفَا عَلَى يُوسُفَ وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ,
اور ان سے منہ پھیرا اور کہا ہائے افسوس یوسف کی جدائی پر, اور اس کی آنکھیں غم سے سفید ہو گئیں تو وہ غصہ کھاتا رہا.
قالوا تالله تفتأ تذكر يوسف حتى تكون حرضا او تكون من الهالكين.
بولے خدا کی قسم آپ ہمیشہ یوسف کی یاد کرتے رہیں گے یہاں تک کہ گور کنارے یعنی موت کے قریب جا لگیں یا جان سے گزر جائیں.
قال انما اشكو بثي وحزني الى الله واعلم من الله ما لا تعلمون.
کہا میں تو اپنی پریشانی اور غم کی فریاد اللہ ہی سے کرتا ہوں اور مجھے اللہ کی وہ شانیں معلوم ہیں جو تم نہیں جانتے.
یا بنی اذهبوا فتحسسوا من یوسف واخیه ولا تیأسوا من روح اللہ انه لا ییأس من روح اللہ الا القوم الكافرون.
اے بیٹو جاؤ یوسف اور اس کے بھائی کا سراغ لگاؤ اور اللہ کی رحمت سے نا امید نہ ہو, بے شک اللہ کی رحمت سے نا امید نہیں ہوتے مگر کافر لوگ.
فلما دخلوا علیہ قالوا یا ایہا العزیز مسنا واہلنا الضر وجئنا ببضاعۃ مزجاۃ فاوفی لنا الکیل وتصدق علینا ان اللہ یجزی المتصدقین.
پھر جب وہ یوسف کے پاس پہنچے بولے اے عزیز ہمیں اور ہمارے گھر والوں کو مصیبت پہنچی اور ہم بے قدر پونجی لے کر آئے ہیں, تو آپ ہمیں پورا معاف دیجئے اور ہم پر خیرات کیجئے, بے شک اللہ خیرات والوں کو صلہ دیتا ہے.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, mashallah عز و جل, you are watching Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah عز و جل. Allahu Akbar. So beautiful. So beautiful, the recitation, the translation of the glory. Yes, it's in the Urdu language. For those that may not understand Urdu, no problem, because this is one of the beauties of Islam. Alhamdulillah, the Quran itself is, we don't understand it. We may not understand it, but yet we enjoy listening to it, don't we? We enjoy listening to the tilawat of the glorious Quran. We don't understand it, my dear viewers, but yet we are still rewarded for listening to the tilawat of the glorious Quran. So alhamdulillah azza, with good intention, we still gain reward. Now alhamdulillah azza jal, we have listened to another few ayat from Surah Yusuf. And what did we hear about? So the brothers of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had returned for a second time, but this time they did bring their younger or youngest possibly brother with them too. And when they came to Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, he kept his youngest brother. Now the youngest brother was also his blood brother. So the youngest brother of all of them was also his younger blood brother. The blood brother of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. Also, you know, extremely beloved to his father. And then the rest of the brothers went, other than one who remained. Now they returned to Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam. This is Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, who is the father of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, they returned to Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, And they told Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam what had happened. That your son, this is what they say. They say that your son was, you know, we're just saying what we've seen. We're just saying what we've seen. But your son is a thief. Your son had stolen something. He had been caught. If you don't believe us, you can ask the rest of the people too. You probably don't believe us. Then you can ask the rest of the people too from the land. Go ask them what had happened. Rata Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam says that, you know, there's something you've done. And the beauty, what's so beautiful about this is that Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam says that they will be returned to me. He says, Jami'a, all of them will be returned to me. What does this mean? He's referring to not only his youngest son who has been taken now, but also included within that is Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is beautiful. You know, the brothers are like, are you still thinking about Hazrat Yusuf? Because he specifically later mentioned Hazrat Yusuf. Hazrat Yusuf, go search for him too. Allahu Akbar. Why would he be saying that? But if it was, it's beautiful. That it's, and this is alhamdulillah our belief, the belief of the Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they possess ilm al-ghayb. What is this? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed them with knowledge of the unseen. So that the Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, he knows about Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, he was patient, no doubt about it. He's a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He understands the need to show patience. And this was Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, who he was, you know, so sad. He says that his eyes became white, meaning he lost his sight. He lost his sight out of the sadness, out of having lost Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. The Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam knows. Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, no, you go there, go and look for Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. This is what he tells them to do. Go look for Hazrat Yusuf. Allahu Akbar. And if it was the brothers, again for a third time now, again they go to Egypt. They travel. And remember, Egypt is not just, don't like the way we're saying, okay, they returned to the father and then they went to Egypt. It's not just that quick and easy to travel from one place to another. So it would have taken 10 or so days possibly to travel between the two places. So this was a long time. It's not just it happened now, or, you know, go tell them this happens and it happens by the next morning. No. You know, there was a long distance, there was a long time between this. There's also resting. You know, it takes a very long time traveling such a distance, my dear viewers. So this is what's happened so far. They return to Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam again for a third time. And then they say to Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, we only have a little amount of money. You know, this is the state. And, well, as to what happens next, we'll have to find out. For now, inshallah, we are going to the Na'at Sharif of the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers, if you are aware of the words, read along with it, inshallah azza wa jal. Let's listen to the Na'at Sharif. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Madina sadi jaane, Madina sadi jaane, Madina sadi jaane, آقا سے طیبہ مجھے بلاتے روزے پر صدقے ہوتا ان پر نثار ہوتا روزے پر صدقے ہوتا روزے پر صدقے ہوتا ان پر نثار ہوتا گھر بلاتے بے قصوں کے آقا وہ بے قصوں کے آقا بے قص کو گھر بلاتے کیوں سب کی ٹھوکروں پر پڑھ کر خوار ہوتا کیوں سب کی ٹھوکروں پر کیوں سب کی ٹھوکروں پر پڑھ کر خوار ہوتا زمین ہوتی ان کے قریب بستا دل کو قرار ہوتا ان کے قریب بستا ان کے قریب بستا دل کو قرار ہوتا مر مٹ کے خوب لگتی مٹی میری ٹھکانے گھر ان کی راہ گزر پر گھر ان کی راہ گزر پر میرا مزار ہوتا یہ آرزو ہے دل کی ہوتا وہ سبز گنبد یہ آرزو ہے دل کی ہوتا وہ سبز گنبد اور میں غبار بن کر اس پر نثار ہوتا اور میں غبار بن کر اور میں غبار بن کر اس پر نثار ہوتا چین دل کو اب تک سمجھا بجا کے رکھا بے چین دل کو اب تک سمجھا بجا کے رکھا بے چین دل کو اب تک سمجھا بجا کے رکھا مگر اب تو اسے آقا نہیں انتظار ہوتا مگر اب تو اسے آقا مگر اب تو اسے آقا نہیں انتظار ہوتا
مدینہ ہوتی میں خاک مسیر ہوتا
اعتبار ہوتا
حبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, you are watching Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah عز و جل. It's beautiful, isn't it? In the morning, we listen to the glorious Quran. We begin our day by listening to the Quran al-Kareem, followed by the Nahr Sharif, praising Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, seeing, mashallah, the Gumbad-e-Khadra, seeing the beautiful, the spectacular, the phenomenal green dome. Allahu Akbar. Every single morning, doing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the zikr of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And this is a huge blessing, and we must be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single morning, we must be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Firstly, for having, you know, giving us another day, another chance to repent, for having given us the ability to do so many things, the ability to see, you know, we heard, my dear viewers of Allah, inshallah, some people, they lose their sight. We need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And honestly, some people that go to sleep, they wake up and they're not able to see. May Allah ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. We must always be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a huge opportunity, being able to listen to the Quran. But one thing you must note, that listening to the Quran, beautiful, brilliant, mashallah, but it is not substitute. It is not a substitute for opening up the Quran, reading the Quran, looking at the Quran, touching the Quran, as well as the, well, whatever language you may understand better, whether it's English, Urdu, and the commentary along with it. Because even, for example, the story of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, it's mentioned with some length, mashallah, but there's so much detail, isn't there, which we will not find explicitly. But the ulama, the scholars, even the Sahaba Ikiram, they had actually commentated on this. And there's so much more we learn about the story of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, from the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, from the sayings, the athar of the companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the tabi'un, etc., the previous ulama. So to gain an understanding of the Quran, we must read the commentary. One thing to remember, make sure it is written by a somebody of the correct creed, a Sunni scholar, inshallah, but please do open up the Quran, read the Quran al-Kareem, read it, and inshallah, you'll love it. It's only about opening it up and reading it. After that, inshallah, you'll love it. You yourself will enjoy it. And especially this story, you'll read, and you know, many of you would be thinking now, oh, why does it stop there? Why can't we have more? You'll read it, inshallah, you'll wish to continue reading and reading. That's how beautiful it is, my dear viewers. We have listened to the Quran al-Kareem. We have listened to the Na'at Sharif of the greatest of all mankind, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And now we have the question of the day. What is today's question? Today's question is, subhanAllah, beautiful question. Today's question is, where is Masjid Quba? The Masjid Quba, where is this located? There are four options, my dear viewers. Is it somewhere in or near Syria that this Masjid Quba is located? Is it near Makkah al-Mukarramah? Some people will be thinking, are we into Masjid Quba? So when I went, I'm going to end up giving up the answer. I'm not going to say nothing there. I'm just going to go to the next option. So option number one, was it near Syria? Option number two, is it near, not was, is, because it still exists today. So is it near Syria? Option number two, is it near Makkah al-Mukarramah? Option number three, is it near Baghdad? Or option number four, is it near Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara? Which, my dear viewers of Madinah Channel, is the correct answer. As I said, I'm not going to say anything else about it, because then I'll be giving possibly an answer away, like I do quite often. My dear viewers of Madinah Channel, today's topic It's a very important topic. It's a beautiful topic. And it's, well, as I said, it's important. It's absolutely imperative. It's very, very important, my dear viewers. What is today's topic? Today, what are we speaking about? Today, my dear viewers of Madinah Channel, inshallah, we shall be hearing about what? About charity. Yes, today, inshallah, we shall be hearing about charity. Now, when you think of charity, what do you think? Generally, when we think of charity, we think of an organization, don't we? We think of an organization, and this organization has some people wearing t-shirts, which says the name of the organization, and they're possibly carrying some sort of tubes, whatever, anything, you know, to go and gather money. Okay, so this is what we think about one thing when we think of charity. Sometimes when you're thinking of charity, you think of the poor, don't you? And many times you think of Africa. Now, just as in everywhere else, and this is nearly every single country of the world, you know, there's poor people, there's rich people. And there can only be rich people with poor people. It's known as Price's Law. It's also known as the Pareto, I think, law. It's known as the 1820. Nevertheless, my dear viewers, where, you know, things are generally distributed, or there's a percentage of 80 to 20. So there's many people who are poor. There are many people who are poor. So this is what we think of. And many times we think of children, we think of dirty water. When we think of charity, we think of dirty water. When we think of charity, we think of children playing. And, you know, we think of what? Malnutrition. Children not being fed. And most of the time, it's pictures of children, because that's what attracts people, or that's what encourages people to actually give more money, because they think of children. They think, oh, you know, it's very sad to be seeing this. So these are the things we think of. And sometimes when we think of charity, we also think of just giving money to our local masajid. When we think of charity, we think of, you know, paying for somebody's marriage sometimes even. So yes, this is what charity is. And there are many types of charity. There are many forms of charity, my dear viewers. Now, I remember I was reading something about the importance of giving to those people who are close to you in comparison. And remember, even within Islam, we have, for example, we have Sadaqah al-Fitr. In Islam, we have Zakat. And this is one of the five pillars of Islam. And just that itself should teach us the, you know, the greatness, the importance. We have Shahada, we have Salah, we have Zakat. So after Shahada and Salah, you know, you bring faith, you are a Muslim. You must pray your Salah, you must worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must lower yourself. You must rid of your pride, lower yourself in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you must also give in charity. You must also give in charity, my dear viewers. And this is what keeps, you know, and is beautiful, really. Because sometimes you ask people, and you say to people, that if you had, I've actually done this, I've experimented it, I've tried it, I've asked a few people. And so I've said to them that, if there's one thing you could do, and it will happen, if there's one thing you could do, what would you do? I can't say how many people I've asked, but I've asked quite a few people, alhamdulillah. So I asked them, I say, if there is one thing you can do, what would it be? If there's one change in the world you could make, you could bring about some sort of change to the world. Just one. What would it be? And I ask people, and people think, oh, yes, you know, if I could bring change to the world, what would I do? You know, would it be protecting the environment? To be honest, I don't think anybody said that. But what I realized was there was one thing which most people agreed. I think nearly everybody said it, with a few exceptions possibly. They said, if I had one thing, they had to think deeply. It's not just a quick answer you can give. It's only one thing, and it's not a minor thing. It's major, isn't it? Changing the world. So like, if there's one thing, what would it be? Let me think. If there's one thing, yes. If there's one thing, I would rid of poverty. This is what they say. And you can try yourself. I may be wrong. It's you know, a minor experiment I've done. Allahu Akbar. It's something personal. Just ask a few people. But this is what I found. And you can ask people and try and let's see what happens. But this is one thing I've realized. That this is many times, not always, this is the answer which we will receive. People say, if there's one thing I can do, I will rid of poverty. I will rid the world of poverty. There will be no poor person. Everybody, and what do we mean by poor? We mean everybody will have food, drink, clean water. Everybody will be given access to clean water. Everybody will have food. Everybody will be happy. Now, happiness, yes, subhanAllah, that's another point. Everybody will have what? Food, water, etc. So, you know, if you've got food and water, that's really what you work for, isn't it? And other riches too, but nobody will be poor. Nobody will die of hunger. Nobody will die of thirst. Or sometimes not even dying of thirst. Sometimes drinking water, but due to drinking that water, there's illness and disease spreading. And due to that, people are dying. So no, there won't be a poor person who can't, let's just say, afford what? Clean water, food, medicine. And this is what we would think, that, wow, that what a world it would be. And it has been how many years? Well, Allahu alam, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu salam, and then later the other, you know, the generations which came after Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu salam, it's been thousands of years, hasn't it? Thousands and thousands of years, my dear viewers. Now, the question is, for thousands and thousands of years, there have been people who are poor. You know, there are so many billionaires, there are so many people of so much luxury, us ourselves are included. Not that I'm a billionaire, but us ourselves, we are, if you think about it, we are amongst the rich, because every single day we never have to worry about food or water or drink. What we worry about is what type of food, from which place. Sometimes we travel to a different city just to get a particular, you know, dessert or something. You know, this is what happens nowadays, even just for a donor. No, but these people, so we are, in fact, amongst the rich, aren't we? In comparison to what people are suffering who don't even have food and water on a daily basis. So we are rich compared to them. The point being, my dear viewers, there are so many people who have all this wealth and, you know, all of these riches, but you would think that by now, you know, technology itself has, you know, huge, has had a huge impact, has developed immensely. But yet there are still so many people. There are so many charities, but yet there are still so many poor people. So, you know, one would think, why is it up until now, there's still so many people who are poor? Why is it that there are so many people who are still poor? And it's a brilliant question. It's something to be thinking about. There's all this which has been given, but yet there are still so many people who are poor. And my dear viewers of Mother Inshallah, the beautiful thing is, that we do have a true solution. We do have a true solution. And this is the religion of Islam. Alhamdulillah. We find that, you know, there's always been poverty, hasn't there? But within Islam, within the deen, within the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find that there is a solution. And we find proof for this too. Because there was a time during Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimallahu ta'ala, during his era, when Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimallahu ta'ala, you know, they were collecting zakat. So the people were collecting zakat. And they came and they brought this to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And Hazrat Umar, rahimallahu ta'ala, this is Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, not to be mistaken by the great second Khalifa of Islam, Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So this is another, and some even, yes, he's a Khalifa too, Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimallahu ta'ala. The people, they came to him and they said, you know, we have all this zakat. And he said, okay, now go distribute it. So you distribute it in this place, and alhamdulillah, the boundaries of the Islamic empire at that time had spread far and wide. Far and wide, my dear viewers, alhamdulillah, you know, continents in a way, it was, that's what it became. And they sent people out to go and give this charity. Who to give it to? Go to give it to the poor. They go out, they travel in one place to another place, to a third place, to a fourth place. But there's nobody to give it to. They're searching for people. They can't find nobody. They're searching. Do you even know anybody who's poor to give zakat? Do you even know anybody that passes the criteria that, you know, they are deserving of zakat? They're actually poor religiously in Islamic perspective. Are they actually poor? And nobody. There is nobody. Allahu Akbar. Now, some people think, will poverty ever be, you know, can anybody ever rid of poverty? Alhamdulillah, it's really happened. Within the Islamic kingdom, Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimallahu ta'ala, has shown this. And what was so beautiful, the point being is, my dear viewers, that people would give their charity, the necessary charity, people would give it. Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimallahu ta'ala, he implemented this. It was a just society, a society of peace, happiness, true justice. And this is what true justice is. But what was one of the most essential components of this? That people had given. And we need to think about in this day and age, that how many of us actually give? And if we do give, how much do we give? That's another question too. Yes, one thing is, for example, zakat. Zakat is necessary. And what the scholars state, my dear viewers, and this is beautiful. Take this point, please, and try to act upon this. Now, remember, firstly, giving zakat is fard, isn't it? It's obligatory upon, you know, every Muslim who passes the conditions. So it's absolutely necessary upon many people, let's just say. It's obligatory. To keep it simple, those who are... It's difficult to give it one word, in fact. I'll just say zakat is falls upon many Muslims. Now, it's obligatory. Let's just say it's obligatory upon me. Let's just say it's obligatory upon you. And another thing is just given general charity. I've given my zakat. Okay, I've given my zakat. But that doesn't mean I can't give elsewhere too. If somebody says, you know, there's this problem. And it's true. And it's true, or we know that this person is poor, this person is in need. You know, we know there's a student of knowledge who sometimes, and honestly, this was sad when I came across it, that there was a student who he wasn't able to afford. It's called a rickshaw, we call it in Pakistan. A rickshaw. Rickshaws, in a way, like nowadays, taxi, but it would be very cheap too. Now, they weren't able to catch a, let's just say, a taxi. And nowadays, when you say taxi, taxis are quite expensive. So you'd say a bus, any sort of transportation, but that's very, very cheap. But they would have to walk some miles to go towards Jamiat al-Madina. Or even more difficult than that, some people were not able to afford their own books to study. And you would think, wow, you know, we take all of these things for granted. We take all of these things for granted. But one point, as I said, one point to mention, is that some people, yes, sometimes we do give our zakat, but then give some extra charity. And when you do, if that person is eligible for zakat, you'd have to tell the person you're giving them zakat. You just make the intention of zakat. So that if there was any, you can say, anything you may have missed out, if you've not, maybe you've not given the zakat properly, any shortcomings, inshallah, that can be fulfilled too. But that's a separate point. The first point is, giving zakat itself, how important is it? No doubt is necessary. First, let's go to our daily reminder, and then we shall hear more. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Regarding his honorable companions, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam explained, "Do not speak ill of my companions, because if any of you were to give charity the amount of gold equivalent to Mount Uhud, it would not be equivalent to a single mud or half a mud given by any of them." What words could adequately explain the rank of the companions who physically saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? What could be said of their amazing acts of worship? This hadith also teaches us to mention the honorable companions with nothing but good. They are never to be spoken about with belittling or disrespectful terms, not in the slightest. These are the specific individuals Allah chose to accompany His beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. The companion superiority is founded on the fact that they accompanied the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam and lived in the era of revelation. If any of us were to live for 1,000 years, spending our entire life obeying Allah and staying away from His disobedience, such that we become the greatest worshippers of our era, even then, all of our worships will not match a single moment spent in the company of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم ما شاء الله عز وجل. Now speaking about charity, zakat. Yes, zakat is that charity which is absolutely, it's obligatory, isn't it? Upon, you know, many Muslims. Now zakat, my dear viewers of Madinah, inshallah, we must give. And if we don't give, this is what it means by fard. Or obligatory, it's an obligation. Where if we don't give it, we are sinful and deserving of punishment. It's something which leads to the fire of hell. We must, as Muslims, give zakat. We must give zakat, my dear viewers. It's necessary for us to give zakat. But then we can't just give it anywhere. This is another huge problem. And that's one thing. A second thing is, people think we only give zakat during the month of Ramadan. No. Zakat could be, you know, it's a month of Rabi' al-Awwal. It could be in Rabi' al-Thani. It could be in Muharram. It could be in Dhul Hijjah. Rajab, any time of the year. There's no specific time for zakat. You know, for everybody. There's no general. Generally for everyone, there's no specific time. But for you as an individual, yes, you have your specific time for zakat. This is something we must understand, we must learn. That me as an individual, when did I have such and such money? From that point to next year, do I still have more than such and such money? In such a case, zakat is necessary upon me. And it's not only just got to do with money, there's other things too. Then zakat is what? Necessary upon me. I must give zakat. But when do you have to give it? You have to wait till Ramadan comes and then give zakat? No. If that point for me is on the first of Muharram, then the next first of Muharram, you must give your zakat. This is how it works, my dear viewers. So firstly, giving zakat, it's not only during 1 month. No, please speak to a scholar. Find out and you give your zakat. This is one thing. Remember, delaying it, a person who delays it is sinful. It's necessary to give it immediately once it becomes fard upon you. But secondly, my dear viewers, we can't just give our zakat to anybody. We can't just give it to anybody. No. Sometimes we think, oh, yes, there's this organization who's doing this. Oh, I need to give my zakat. Anyway, let's give it to these guys. No, my dear viewers. And this is one, honestly, and some people may think it's biased, but this is my belief. Alhamdulillah. And this is the beauty of Dawat-e-Islami, my dear viewers. Within Dawat-e-Islami, we have stipulated Muftiyan-e-Kiram, meaning Muftis, people who are credible scholars, reputable scholars, who are extremely knowledgeable in the rulings, in the principles of zakat, of charity. And whatever zakat is given to Dawat-e-Islami, they will deal with it in accordance to the Sharia. So it's not just about giving it anywhere. There's only specific people you can give it to. So I encourage you, honestly, for those who have any doubt whatsoever, towards Dawat Islami, give it towards Dawat Islami, inshallah, and then you will not need to worry. Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal. Because your zakat will be dealt with properly. Now that's one point. Let's just say, just our zakat, if we were to all give zakat, then that scenario we had at the beginning, that was the one thing, if you wish you could change something, what would that one thing be? Poverty, wouldn't it? So many people, and this is, it's not necessarily everybody thinks alike. There will be difference. There will be a difference amongst the people. But many people wish for this to happen, don't they? Or wish, you know, poverty didn't exist. Many of you as a Muslim children, what is the solution? The solution is giving your zakat. If you give your zakat, and if it is distributed properly, in accordance to the sharia, then inshallah, why not? Why can it not happen? It's not impossible. The deen has showed us as to how it's done. And we can truly rid of poverty, inshallah. But this is by giving your zakat properly. And how can you do that? By speaking to a scholar about it. So this is one form of charity, give a zakat. For those who have not given their zakat, and they need to give zakat. Some people think, I don't even know if I need to give my zakat. When is my day? For that, contact a scholar and gain advice, inshallah. And remember, because if we don't, we are being sinful. Some people think, oh, if I didn't know, no. Not knowing is not an excuse. Ignorance is not an excuse. So give zakat, my dear viewers. So this is one form of charity. Then there's other forms of charity, you know, generally giving to. And subhanAllah, honestly, our religion is so beautiful. And then on top of this, the teachings of Shaykh al-Tariqat, Amir Ahli Sunnah, Damat Barakat Mur'aliyah, are so beautiful too. Because yes, this is the rulings of Sharia. But for him to emphasize upon some particular rulings is beautiful. Because now we see, that, you know, yes, there are many organizations out there. Okay. But we see that, you know, people want the money, don't they? People want the money because it benefits them. But my personal experience, alhamdulillah, azza wa jal, my personal experience is our scholars, and mashallah, through the advice of Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah, and they themselves, they always emphasize and stress this point. That zakat, yes, you give it to charities, you give it to others, even the al-Islami, but first, there are other people who are deserving even before Dawat Islami. If they are, give it to them people first. Who else does that? Who else says that? Honestly, personally, I've never come across anybody else. And this is just one of the beauties, alhamdulillah, azza wa jal, one of the beauties of Dawat Islami, one of the beauties of the founder of Dawat Islami, Shaykh al-Tariqat Amir al-Sunnat, Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah. We are having to go to the daily Hadith Sharif, and if we get a chance, inshallah, we shall speak a little more about charity and giving to those people who are around us. Giving to our own family. Some people, they feel so rich when they're outside in front of the world, but when it comes to their own family, oh, there's nothing to eat. Let's go to the daily Hadith Sharif. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
In our lives, we receive many words of encouragement, sometimes from our parents, sometimes from our teachers, sometimes from our colleagues, friends, relatives, siblings. Everybody can possibly give good advice. But remember, the advice and the encouragement, the instruction given by the Prophet ﷺ is the best advice, the best form of guidance. Khairul Hadi, Hadi Muhammad ﷺ. The best form of guidance is the guidance provided by the Prophet ﷺ. And what did the Prophet ﷺ instruct us to do? There are many narrations, of course, but in one narration, which is found in the Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shayba, the Prophet ﷺ said, build masajid. Construct masajid. But the thing is, how many of us are busy in this activity? We're building our own houses, having extensions done. A new floor, spacious house. We make plans for this, we save up for this. We spend a lot of days and nights thinking about this. But what about this emphatic command of the Prophet ﷺ, build masajid? How many of us are actually acting upon this? And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us tawfiq to do so. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And if you're on the channel, you are watching Rise and Shine. And mashallah, azza wa jal, that was the daily Hadith Sharif. Now, we were speaking about, yes, zakat, the importance. If we've not given our zakat, we must give our zakat. But otherwise, zakat is not the only form of charity. There's sadaqah fitr, which is necessary too. But just general charity, give charity, just generally giving. You know, we should try to give whenever possible, my dear viewers, wherever possible. We should try to give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should try to give to other Muslim, you know, brothers, sisters all around the world who are in difficulty, who are in hardship. But also, even to our own family. Now, there's to everything, there's two extremes, isn't there? And alhamdulillah, our deen teaches us the middle path. So there are some, okay, for their own family, you know, you get two extremes. You get some who give them everything, and sometimes things are wasted. Sometimes they're spoiling them. I was reading one book, and in that book it states about deprivation. It states about deprivation and the importance and the effect deprivation has upon our lives, where we are able to attain our full potential if we are deprived from things. But if we are given everything, then the value of those things decreases. And also, we do not work hard. We do not try to attain things. We do not develop ourselves. So that's one extreme, giving. For example, giving children. You know, one person said, why is it that you give them? I'm not against giving youngsters things. MashaAllah, I have a daughter too. I wish to give her everything. But Madhi views him on the child, I asked, and this was before I had a child myself. I asked him, I said, you know, because he gives a lot. I said, why do you give him so much? He said, look, he said, Ustaz, I never had anything as a kid, so I wish to give it to them. So I said to him, okay, but there were many things you did have. There were many things your parents, okay, there's many things they couldn't do, they couldn't afford to give you. But there were many things they did give you. This was teaching, this was adab, this was their teachings. They taught you respect, they taught you to have shame, they taught you to be humble, they taught you, you know, etc., etc. So, you know, you're giving them other things, what they did not have. But don't miss out those important things which your parents did give to you. Remember, they should be in middle level. You shouldn't give them so much that, you know, it is, and sometimes it does. It does sometimes ruin. It does sometimes ruin their lives, having everything. There needs to be a middle level. And sometimes it's the other extreme, my dear viewers. What's the other extreme? The other extreme is some people that act, you know, as if they're the most generous person in the world. But when it comes to their own family, they spend nothing on their family. They don't give to their wives. They don't give to their children, whoever, their family, parents, whoever it may be. They don't give to their immediate family. Now, there's the little things which, you know, you would expect, okay, do this or do that, or give me this. Or they will not. They'll be very, very greedy. They'll be very, very strict and harsh. No, alhamdulillah, azzurul, we've been given the greatest of teachers. We've been given the greatest. Yes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A perfect, you could say the greatest, but then true perfection, my dear viewers, we find in the manners, the etiquettes, the actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, he showed us the best of manners. That everything should be at a mediocre level. Don't be extreme. Don't be kind to your family. Remember this. That feeding your own family is also a form of sadaqah. And some people think, oh, no, it's a bit hard, isn't it? You know, only the people who are rich, they can give so much sadaqah. You know, how can I give sadaqah? I'm a poor person. How can I give sadaqah? And this is what's beautiful. That what you are, even just when you're feeding your own family, your children, your spouse, whoever it may be, this is a form of sadaqah. You have a good intention. You shall gain reward. This is sadaqah. If you have no money whatsoever, just smiling at somebody, this is a form of sadaqah. And this is what's beautiful, alhamdulillah. You know, being a Muslim, we should be proud, really. We should be proud. Many people are afraid to even show they're Muslim. Some people try to hide it. You know, people change their names. They give it a twist, which, you know, makes it non-Islamic. People are afraid even to show that they're Muslim sometimes. We should be proud. Alhamdulillah, no matter what people think, alhamdulillah, we should be proud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us honor by means of Islam, my dear viewers. This is what brings us honor. It is the Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he states, and this is my favorite quote from Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab. We are running out of time. I'll just quickly mention it. He says, we are a qawm, a nation, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us honor by means of Islam. If we were to look towards other people for respect and honor, no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall disgrace us. Allah ta'ala has given us honor by means of Islam. We should be proud, alhamdulillah, meaning the good proud. We should be proud to be Muslims. Alhamdulillahi azzula. Why? Because we have the best of religions, the best of books. We have the greatest, the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And now let's turn to this kalam. Let's listen to this Naat Sharif.
Mawla ya salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habib. خير خلق كلهم
Allah send peace and blessings upon your beloved, the best and perfect creation that you have created.
مولا يا صلي وسلم دائما
محمد سيد الكونين والثقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم. The master of both worlds, jinn and mankind combined, Arab or non-Arab, he is leader of them all.
Mawla ya salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habibika khair khalqi kullihimi.
Huwa al-habibu alladhi tuja shafa Tahimi. He's the loved one whose intercession we all hope for, in every horror and yes, in every calamity.
Mawla ya salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habibika khair khalqi kulli.
And character that don't near him in knowledge or in generosity.
Mawla ya salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habibika khair khalqi kullihim. From your knowledge is the tablet and the pen of decree. Mawla ya salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habibika.
خير خلق كلهم
يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم For the chosen one my lord let us reach all our goals and pardon us what is gone O vast in generosity
Mawla ya salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habibika khair khalqi
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم My dear viewers of the channel, MashaAllah Azza wa Jalla, you are watching Rise and Shine, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla. MashaAllah, just seeing the Gumbad Shifa, it makes a day, doesn't it? Alhamdulillah, just seeing that and maybe be able to see in real life, inshallah, very, very soon. What is our Jamiatul Madinah? Alhamdulillah, we have a quick clip. Let's take a look at that and then we shall continue. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
It's Dawat-e Islami.
Islamic scholars are needed to present the message of Islam to the whole world. Dawat Islami has created a department through which Islamic scholars are produced. Jamiatul Madinah. Leaders of the Ummah are being prepared in Jamiatul Madinah in an exceptional way. Along with the Darsi Nizami, there are various languages and skill enhancement programs that are also available to them. Scholar skills are developed in order to prepare them for the modern world. Let us show you how Jamiatul Madinah of Dawat Islami is providing us the scholars in Pakistan and abroad.
The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold because keys to success this knowledge does hold. The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold because keys to success this knowledge does hold.
At the time of presenting this documentary and performance, i.e. December 2023, more or less 1,500 Jamiatul Madinahs have been established in the country of Pakistan and abroad. Yes, Alhamdulillah, 1,500 Islamic universities have been built around the world. Until date, about 124,000 students are studying Darsi Nizami completely free of cost. And amongst them, there are thousands of them whose accommodation is also our responsibility. Food, accommodation, all of their affairs are managed by your Dawat Islami. This department does not charge any fees and is running completely free of charge. And religion is also being taught free of charge as well. You'll be happy to know that with the blessings of this department, many ulama have been produced. And so far, by the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, about 31,211 Islamic brothers and sisters have been graduated through Darsi Nizami and they are performing their services in different countries around the world.
It's all over the world.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. We had our daily question. The question, my dear viewers of Madani channel, is where is Masjid Quba located? Is it near Syria? Is it near, I can't remember exactly the rest of the cities. There's one near Makkah al-Mukarrama. Is it near Al-Madinah al-Munawwara? MashaAllah, some people have sent in the answers. Ummi Muhammad Fazil, if that's how it's pronounced. Today the answer is number 4, near to Al-Madinah al-Munawwara, MashaAllah. Another gift, Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu rahmatullah. The answer is Masjid Quba in Medina. So they stay in Medina. Another gives salam. And this is wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Abu Sakina from South Africa. The answer is number 4. All those who have sent in the answers, may Allah Ta'ala bless them. We find the first masjid established, built initially. Its foundations were laid by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Masjid Quba. That's all for today. Inshallah, we shall be returning for more Rise and Shine tomorrow. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.